Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. I'm in for Neil Stavem this week, and it's been just a great week. I love learning new subjects that I hadn't necessarily looked into or talked about before, so it's fun to sit in Neil's seat instead of just once a week that I get to do on Fridays. So it's been a great experience so far.
Get to do a little deep dive into different subjects here, huh?
Yes, it's good. Very fun. Well, and you know, Neil usually picks out the subjects and then just hands me a stack of books. So sometimes I laugh because the last time we did this, I think we talked about how wives communicate with their husbands. We talked about mothers and sons. And so it's always interesting to see what he's chosen for me. And it makes for an interesting week for me.
Yes. Step families today, right?
Step families today. So this is, yes, exciting. And one of the statistics that was written in this book and also in the materials is that 100 million Americans have a step relationship of some kind, either a step parent, a step child, or a step sibling. And sometimes you think, well, maybe it's not all that common, but it really is. I mean, I have a step father-in-law, a stepfather-in-law. Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah. So it's becoming more and more common, of course, with many people to have some sort of step relationship. So it's a great subject and very, very wide range.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I look forward to talking to Ron again. He's always really, really good and helpful.
Yes, a real authority on the subject. You know, also we were, of course, watching the debate last night with my family and, you know, just talking about the way we treat others in the society. And so that's always a good talking point of how do you speak with others that you differ.
Yeah, right. And you said that your son is studying debate right now in school. So he was picking up on some of the nuances of what was going on.
He was. It was kind of interesting to get his comments of how the arguments were presented. Were the facts backed up with details? And so he was looking at it from a very different perspective, kind of trying to take the emotion out of it and just look at the actual ins and outs of how the questions were formatted, how the answers were formatted. It was really a great lesson for me.
A bit of a challenge to take the emotion out of it for this round. But, that's a good challenge to have. And congrats that you could do that and pick that out. I was actually following Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, on Twitter, and one of the things he said was funny right in the middle of it. I've never been so bored and frightened at the same time was his comment. I thought that was funny. Anyway,
I had some of those emotions as well. You know, it's always good to then kind of just reset your life as I put my kids to bed last night, just being able to kind of center in on who God is and who we are because of him and being able to just kind of recenter things. It's always a good lesson for us. And one of the great ways to do that is, of course, just read a paragraph or something from our Bible and just remember who Jesus is and who he's made us to be as well. John Stone Street has more on that as well.
Does your Bible look a little dusty? For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. For many, the Bible has become a museum exhibit, a hallowed treasure that's enigmatic and untouched. That's what New York Times religion editor Kenneth Briggs writes in his book, The Invisible Bestseller, Searching for the Bible in America. In his 2-year tour of churches and homes around the country, he found that most of those who own Bibles treat them as an artifact and a keepsake, almost like a lucky rabbit's foot. And in many churches, Briggs encountered what he calls Bible-less Christianity, sermons and songs prepackaged with content people assume is from Scripture but seldom bother to check. The place he unexpectedly found folks with an intimate knowledge of the Bible? Prison. Chuck Colson would be proud of those inmates, but most of the church could use some help. So how do we become biblically literate again? Well, start by opening your Bible. Join a strong church and check out great resources like The Bible Project on YouTube and my personal favorite, The Books of the Bible and the Community Bible Experience by Biblica. I'm John Stone Street.
Well, we'd all probably agree that reading our Bible more would help us navigate a myriad of challenges in our relationships. One of those relationships that often needs some navigating and some nurturing, of course, is marriage. And couples with blended families have additional challenges that may not have been brought up in the premarital counseling or in our own past experience. In fact, like I mentioned before, 40% of families in the U.S. are blended families headed by step family marriages. So that's why today we've invented an authority on the subject, Ron Deal, to talk about what is it to be a smart step family marriage and what keys what are the keys to success to make this happen? So let me tell you a little bit about Ron, and we will get him on the show. Ron Deal's a marriage and family author. He's a conference speaker and a therapist. His top-selling books, online articles, and daily 60-second radio feature, Family Life Blended, make him one of the most widely read and referenced authors on stepfamilies in the world. He's the founder and president of Smart Stepfamilies and the director of Family Life Blended, the ministry initiative of family life to stepfamilies. So welcome, Ron, to the show.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's always good to be on Faith Radio, and you guys carry our Family Life Blended Radio Minute, so it's good to be with you.
Well, and you have so many great resources for stepfamilies. This latest book is called The Smart Stepfamily Marriage, Keys to Success in the Blended Family. And I love how you really laid it out in a very understandable way to the fact that there are some things that we need to put into practice in order to create a successful stepfamily marriage. Did you find that some people just haven't even thought about some of the challenges that may exist?
Yeah, I think that, it cuts one of two ways, actually. There are some people who go into a stepfamily marriage with the assumption that because you and I love each other, the kids will come along. They may not, be as in love with this idea as we are, but they'll get there pretty quickly. And what we know is that typically does not happen, that it's a much slower pace for the children than it is for the adults. But the other extreme is there are couples who go into the stepfamily marriage with an understanding of some sense of awareness that, this could be challenging. And in fact, one of the things that surprised me, this book that we're referencing today, The Smart Stepfamily Marriage, co-authored with Dr. David Olson, who, by the way, worked right there at the University of Minnesota for 35 years, was based on a large national study that we did together. And I was actually surprised to find out how many of the couples did anticipate that there would be some stress around blending families, that there would be some things that they would have to figure out and that would impact their marriage. But just because they knew something was coming, they didn't know exactly what, and they certainly didn't necessarily understand what to do about it. And that's one of the reasons that we wrote this book.
Well, I love that you also made some things that were applicable for marriages that aren't blended families. Like you suggest that it's really important to do a checkup, to have a communication with your spouse to figure out how is our marriage doing right now. Talk a little more about that.
Yeah, Joe, that's a good question. And we actually did two studies at the same time and ended up creating two books, one for first married couples and one for stepfamily couples, and tailored what was the information that it was important for each particular group. But one thing that was in common was this idea of a couple checkup. And in fact, there is an online profile called Couple Checkup that you can just go online and take, and in about 30 minutes, he does his part, she does her part, and about 30 minutes later, you're going to get an email profile of your relationship, your strengths, where you could use some growth, and what's really going well, and what are some areas to help you focus on in the future, and then tips and tools about how to do that. You just stop and ponder that for a second. A lot of couples will do premarital counseling, and they kind of know they need to get prepared for a wedding. But rarely once we get married do we stop and pause to go, hey, how are we doing? Right? There's conversation around it and his opinion and her opinion, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have any objective opinions about that. We go to the dentist once or twice a year. You get your heart checked after a certain age on a regular basis. You get your oil changed in your car. But not very often do we get the heart of our marriage looked at, and just do a checkup on that. And this is not about finding problems necessarily. It is simply about knowing where you are. In the book, we kind of reference this almost like a GPS in your car. We've all got those on our phones these days. And so it's the same sort of thing. If you want to get somewhere, the first thing you have to do is know where you are, right? So that's what our GPS systems will do, is tell you exactly where you are on the planet. And then you can enter some address or destination, and then it will mark a path to help you get there. Same sort of thing with this Smart Stepfamily Marriage book. The profile goes hand in hand with the book. It tells you where you are, and then the book tells you here's the path to go from where you are to where you want to be. And so we're just trying to create a practical resource that translates into life change and deepening intimacy in marriage.
Well, and you did mention that it's not just to identify the problems, but there are also some strengths for each couple. What are some of those key strengths that you mentioned are typical of highly satisfied stepfamily couples?
There are some things that you would expect from all couples, whether it's a first marriage or a second or a third or what have you. And there's some things that are in common, I should say, between all of those marriages. Communication skills is one. Managing conflict is another. Having a spiritual core to your relationship, that is how you share the Lord and how that orients you in your life to make decisions. Those are things that are in common and very predictable, I would say. And we could spend some time talking about those. But one of the things that I think is unique about the study that we did was what's uncommon, if you will, about a step-family marriage, a step-couple relationship, as I like to say it. There are certain things that are unique about that, that if couples don't, well, honestly, if they don't anticipate or don't have any sort of a plan, it really blindsides them, and it can take their marriage under pretty quickly, and that's what we want to try to prevent. So let me just give you one example of that. We found in our study that, believe it or not, only about half, it might even be less than half of all couples getting married and forming a blended family ever really had a conversation about parenting. They didn't have a parenting plan before the wedding. And we know that kid issues, your kid, my kid, stepchild, step-parent relationships, those are some of the flashpoints for a lot of blended families that create conflict and that ultimately divide the couple's marriage. And so if you don't do some anticipation about that and figure out how are we going to do this, you know, your bedtime is 9 o'clock and mine is 10 o'clock, or, you know, are you going to pay for college for my child or are we just paying for college for your child? I mean, all those kind of serious conversations about how we're going to do life end up impacting the couple's relationship in very significant ways. And so we try to help couples think that through and get a plan.
I'm talking to Ron Deal today. He's written a great new book called The Smart Stepfamily Marriage, Keys to Success in the Blended Family. We're going to hear more about what are some of those keys to success. If you're a part of a blended family or are going to be, you're going to want to stay tuned. We do have a few of Ron's books to give away as well. You can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. I'm also going to tell you how you can see Ron live coming up on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender and for Neil Stavem today, talking to Ron Deal today about his book, The Smart Stepfamily Marriage, Keys to Success in the Blended Family. Ron, you were talking about maybe some issues that couples have when they first come together that they hadn't had a conversation about, maybe how they're going to parent those children that are now kind of both of theirs. You mentioned also in your book that just having a conversation about how to discipline is going to be essential because yeah. We as parents who are coming maybe from different backgrounds are going to have vastly different ideas of how to discipline.
You know, a couple in a first marriage may have grown up in homes where they had very different parenting strategies, where their parents parented them very differently. And so one may be a little more, you know, harsh, a little more hardline about rules, and the other one may be a little more, you know, forgiving about what rules are broken. But when they have a child together, those two people kind of grow up into their parenting as the child is growing. And that gives them a distinct advantage. They get to figure it out together as they go, but they're clearly a team, and the marriage came before the parenting. In other words, parenting flows out of the marriage relationship. The child knows that. The parents know that. In a step family, you have all these things working all at the same time, but it's flip-flopped, right? So the couple's still trying to figure out how they're going to parent well together, except the children came before the marriage, and so marriage doesn't provide the foundation to the parenting. It's the other way around, and the kids know that, and sometimes they'll use that against the step-parent, right, and have more power in the family than even the step-parent does. That creates another problem. And then you have, well, this is the way we've always done it. My child and I or my kids, you know, we've always had this pattern or this process. This is what we're used to. My kids are used to that. I'm used to that. Now you're wanting to change that. So they don't get to grow up in an environment as a couple, if you will, where they're coming together around parenting, they're battling all of those different layers all at the same time. And ultimately, that creates this insider-outsider thing where the biological parent and their child are the insiders and the step-parent is an outsider trying to figure out how to become an insider. And if the biological parent doesn't do some good work to bring that outsider step-parent into the parenting system, you end up being divided as a couple. And see, all of that complexity is what we call it. All of that complexity just makes it harder for the couple to have intimacy and a deep bonded relationship. And those are the kinds of things that catch people off guard that we try to help them anticipate in this book.
Well, it seems like communication is just paramount to being able to have a successful step-family marriage. I know that's one of the categories that you measure in the assessment.
Mm-hmm. It is. Communication, you're exactly right, as is conflict resolution, right? Because they're trying to resolve these parenting differences and figure this out. We found that happy couples were 9 times more likely to resolve their issues, to have good conflict resolution skills, and whatever that conflict was about. And oftentimes that conflict is about something related to being a stepfamily. You see, here's another unique thing that we discovered. 7 of the top 12 stumbling blocks for couples in stepfamilies have nothing to do with being a couple. Now, let me explain. They have to do with their past or their stepfamily present. The past could be we have conflict around my ex and the co-parenting that takes place is I'm trying to communicate with the other household about the children, or maybe it's about financial debt that I brought with me from a past relationship into this marriage, or it's about the parenting and step-parenting dilemmas like we just talked about, or it's about what kind of new parenting rules we're going to have for our household, or, you know, so it's things related to being a step-family that generate the conflict. You still have to be able to resolve it well as a couple. But there's that other – that's the hidden piece, right? It's one thing to know how to resolve conflict, but now we have to resolve conflict about kids or about an ex-spouse or about my ex-mother-in-law who still wants to see the kids at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so how do we work that into our schedule? All of those layers create the conflict. The couples just, you know, aren't sure how to manage.
Well, and do these conversations need to take place before the marriage? I notice one of the statements in your book says that newly married step-parents often feel duped. Explain that.
Yeah. Well, ideally, these conversations would take place before the marriage. You know, unfortunately, sometimes they don't. I say to people, whoever's listening right now, start now. You know, it doesn't matter if you didn't know what you didn't know beforehand, but now you're learning, and so now's the time to jump in there. When I say sometimes step-parents feel duped, it's this, based on dating isn't always a true picture of what life is going to be like after the wedding, at least not for blended families. And part of that's because of so many things that happen at a wedding. It becomes exceedingly real to the children that mom really is going to fall in love and this guy is now her husband. And now we have to share mom with him at a very deep level. And if he brings children, we have to share our mother with his children. And so the net result of that for a kid is I get less of mom, right? So there's a sadness there. There's a loss. There's adjustment there. And now I'm trying to figure out how to make room for my stepdad in my heart and for him to be an authority in my life. And I've got my biological dad who's still my dad and clearly wants to be my dad and in my life. So how do I make room for my new stepdad without hurting my dad's feelings? So all of these things are kind of converging at the point of the wedding and moving in together and now trying to figure out how to do family life. And so for a lot of step-parents in particular, the picture that they had during the dating season just doesn't end up being what real life is. And so they feel duped. It's not that anybody has set out to do that. Nobody's lying on purpose. It's just that life has thrown them some curves and they're not sure what to do with it. My encouragement to people is, hey, actually, this is all pretty predictable. If you read 2 or 3 of my books, you'll kind of get a picture of what's really common, and you're just living normal. It's just that you didn't know that. Nobody told you that. So you're doing okay. That's the point. It's okay. It's hard, but you can learn how to manage some of this stuff, and you can come together as a couple even in the midst of it.
one of the things that you talk about when couples find themselves in this position where, well, we're not quite sure this is going to work, is that couples might decide they're going to kind of practice being married and cohabitate. But you say that's not a great idea here either.
Yeah, it's not. You know, this is a bold statement, but it's true. There's a lot of research. The most dangerous place for a child in the U.S. today, the most dangerous family type, is in a cohabiting stepfamily home. There's just something about it. The lack of permanency doesn't create the kind of boundaries that, that a child needs. Yeah, we could talk about that from the kid's point of view, but let me just add from the couple's point of view, cohabitation, again, it's not real until it's real. I mean, everybody knows that. A little case in point, there's a big case study going on in our culture today, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. You know, let's backtrack just a little bit. A number of years ago, they began to live together and made a declaration that they were going to live together and not get married until all people of all shapes and sizes could get married in the U.S. In other words, that was a political statement about gay marriage. And so then they started having children and adopting children and built a family. And after about 7 years of cohabiting, their kids began to say, "Why aren't you guys married? We want you to get married." You see, the kids thought it was a value that they would really pursue for on behalf of their family and their parents. And so the kids talked them into it. So 2 years ago, Angelina Jolie is on the cover of People magazine, and everybody's cheering, you know, the big wedding day. And first of all, I just always paused and said, that's interesting to me, because they were together and they said they were together, but everybody knows marriage is different, right? Mm-hmm. Why would she be on the cover? Why would this be her big day if they were if cohabitation is the same as marriage? Well, it's not. Everybody knows that. So they got married, and now 2 years later, we've just heard that they're going through a divorce, which, of course, is, you know, very difficult for them. And I'm sorry for them. But it's interesting to me how that progression went from cohabitation to marriage that we celebrate, and now everybody recognizes they're divorced. And as I'm reading articles, I've noted that people, as they write about their life, they don't say they've been together for a decade, adding both cohabitation years and married years together. No, what they say is they've been married for 2 years. You see, everybody knows marriage is different. You can't sit on the shallow end of the swimming pool and just put your toes in the shallow end and call it swimming. Unless you dive into the deep end, you're really not swimming. And I would encourage couples, what you want is permanence and commitment and a safe relationship. And that's only found in marriage. That's why God said, hey, this thing is to be honored. This is different. You reserve sexuality for that. Why? Because there's something here that's permanent and lasting and important. And if that's what you want, then that's what you should pursue. Don't pretend. Don't sit at the shallow end and call it swimming. Dive into the deep end and trust God.
Oh, Ron, that is so, so powerful. We're talking with Ron Deal today. He's written a great book called The Smart Stepfamily Marriage, Keys to Success in the Blended Family. Of course, has some great tips for couples who may not be in a blended family. Just some great tips on marriage, how to stay connected, and how to continue to build a marriage that's going to last a lifetime. Well, we do have some of Ron's books to give away. We'd love if you'd get one. It's 877-933-2484 is the phone number, 877-933-2484. Give us a call, and we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Great to have you here this afternoon. Talking to Ron Deal today. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist and also the founder of Smart Step Families, director of Family Life Blended, and author of The Smart Step Family. Today we're talking about the Smart Step Family Marriage, Keys to Success in the Blended Family. And Ron's actually going to be here in Minnesota, but this week you're having a conference in Colorado. Tell us a little bit more about that and how people can get connected if they can make it there.
On Thursday and Friday of this week, the 29th and 30th of September, we're hosting the Summit on Stepfamily Ministry. It's amazing. Churches are beginning to catch the vision and understand that that step families are different families, and there's different relationship dynamics at play. And to support and encourage them, we need to understand that better. So this is a two-day event, and we're going to teach people the basics of understanding step families all the way up to ministry models and structure in a local church, and really trying to equip and empower everybody, whether it be senior pastors to children's ministry leaders to lay couples who lead a support group in their home or at Sunday school. So it's called the Summit on Step Family Ministry. Focus on the Family is actually hosting it for us this year, so it's on their campus. So it's a combination of Family Life and Focus on the Family coming together, the two largest ministries, marriage and family ministries in the country. So it's really exciting. And people can just simply go to familylife.com and then click on the Blended Family tab, and you will find your way to information. And if you can't make it this year, I know it's short notice, we certainly would love for you to join us next year. We do this every year. And then a couple weeks after that, I'm going to be right up there in the Twin Cities at Wayzata Community Church, as you mentioned, on Wednesday, October 12th. That's a church that's launching a ministry for complex families, single-parent families and step-families. And I'm just coming up to kind of help them kick that off. Looking forward to speaking to families and couples Wednesday, October 12th.
So we'll have a link to both of those events, or to rondeal.org and familylife.com, on our website as well at myfaithradio.com. Just click on Connecting Faith. You can find out more information about those. And Ron, you know, one of the things that the chapters I loved reading about in your book was just the chapter on having fun. Why do step families need to understand? What do they need to understand about having fun?
Yeah, 85% of the best relationships in step family couples have similar ideas of what is fun and relaxing, and they engage in them and share that together. We call it the fun factor. Now, every couple needs this, but again, we kind of found that there is something unique about step-family couples that makes this even more important. And let me just balance this out a little bit. We also found that there was a fear factor, okay? And we talk about that quite a bit in this book, too. The fear factor is, man, I don't want to get hurt again. I don't want my kids to be hurt again. Just pause for a second. For most step family marriages, one or both of the partners has lived through something hard, right? A spouse died, they've been widowed. They could be early in life, they could be in their mid 60s or 70s and widowed, and now they're dating somebody new. It could be that they've gone through a divorce. It could be that they've had a child out of wedlock, and now somebody's come into their life who's not the father. Whatever the story is, there's been a loss and some sadness, and that colors how you trust. Right? It just makes it a little more difficult to trust deeply. And so that fear can get in the way of your relationship really having depth. On the flip side, the fun factor is kind of relaxing and releasing yourself and to enjoy the other person. And typically, that's how couples meet in the first place, right? They enjoy playing tennis, or they enjoy a particular hobby, and they met, and that's what they do together as they're falling in love. And then we get married, and we stop. Well, don't stop, right? I mean, just keep that stuff going. Even if it's just going to dinner and a movie on a regular basis, keep that fun factor alive, and it really helps to offset some of the challenges that step-family couples face.
Well, and the kids, too, it might be very helpful for the kids to be able to see this new person who's part of their mm-hmm. family to be joining in on those activities that the family does together, or maybe find some new activities that they hadn't done together, just a way to have fun together.
It's good to have just things that the couple does, right, just mm-hmm. the two of them, because that kind of really, you know, supports their relationship and makes a statement to the rest of the family about how important that is. But as you said, it's also good. Find some fun things that the family's doing together. Here's my latest favorite, okay? And it's serving together as a family. Well, you know, this has spiritual depth and value to it. You're teaching your kids about serving others and loving people and reaching out beyond their comfort zones and experiencing different things. You know, you can do that at a soup kitchen down the street. You can do it for your elderly neighbor who needs a little help. But you could also get on a plane and go to a third world country and have a really big experience and teach your kids a whole lot about life and about God and about faith, and at the same time build a memory as a family unit where they are seeing dad and his new wife, mom and her new husband, or, you know, step-siblings coming together in the trenches of service and sacrifice on behalf of others. That's the kind of stuff that grows a family on multiple, multiple levels, builds memories, and in effect creates the identity that the family is searching for. I highly recommend that.
You know, talk more about that spiritual core. How essential is it that families who are blended families who are coming together have a common spirituality?
Well, it influences commitment, right? In the early years, a lot of step families have some struggles and some stress. And commitment is that thing that holds you together, even when you're wondering if this was a good idea. That's important. That comes from our spiritual core. God's committed to us and faithful to us, and we should be faithful to our commitments to one another. But, you know, more importantly beyond that, it's what grows us up is, you know, our faith is true north. You know, and when the compass of life is kind of pointing in all sorts of directions and you get it centered back on north, you know how to act, you know who to be, you know what you're supposed to do. One of the radio features that we do, Family Life Blended, that airs there on the Faith Radio Network, we're getting ready to record a series on put off and put on. You know, the book of Colossians talks so much about put off, and then it lists different things, anger and bitterness and, you know, lack of forgiveness, and put on kindness and thoughtfulness and love and forgiveness. And it really comes down to that. And when a dad or a stepdad, a mom or a stepmom, and steps, when we put on those virtues, even in our home, it fosters love and relationship and togetherness. When we put that on in front of the world, we're teaching the people about the love of Christ and about his commitment to them, and it just transforms life and relationships. Now, life's hard, but that daily decision to put off something in me that is unbecoming and put on something that is of Christ, it just grows me up and it grows my relationships.
Well, and it must create a great sense of intimacy as well for that couple that's coming together and trying to create a strong marriage within that step family as well. What does the talk of spirituality as well as just communication do to intimacy?
Oh, it does. It fosters it. I mean, think about the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What's the next line? Against things there is no law. Nobody protests these things. Everybody is in favor of these things. And when a husband does that, his wife is in favor of who he is. She's drawn to him. It fosters intimacy and commitment, and she now wants to be like that. It motivates her to move in those directions. And then when she does that, then he's reinforced that he wants to be more like that. And then the kids want to be more like that. That's how we transform the world. That's the kingdom moving in and through the world, through us, simply by putting off and putting on.
Well, it seems like such a huge responsibility for those parents who are coming together to start a new family, a blended family, that, boy, it just seems like we should all be in prayer for our brothers and sisters who are coming into that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, and the reason we have this summit on Step Family Ministry is because good-hearted church leaders want to help, but they don't always know what to do. And if you've not lived, you know, in a step family, didn't grow up in one, don't live in one now, oftentimes you're just unaware of some of those unique challenges. One of the things I commonly hear, here's a good example, is I'll hear from a church leader, well, we have a parenting class and we teach good parenting. We have a marriage class and we teach good marriage skills. Yeah, but that's about half of what a step family couple needs, because you're going to talk about marriage from one vantage point. You're not going to talk about the fear factor, right? Because it's just a different thing in a step family marriage. And parenting is so different as a step parent than it is as a biological parent. So we need things like the summit to teach church leaders how to be sensitive to, but also know how to reach out to people in their community. But then once they're there, what do you say? How do you help? What are the materials and resources that are a blessing? So that's what we at Family Life Blended are all about. Of course, people can just come to familylife.com and find that information on their own, and you might be the kind of person who can start a small group in your church and get a few couples together and be a tremendous asset to somebody else. And church leaders are growing in this area, and I think in the coming years we're going to find that this is something a lot of churches are trying to understand and are really moving. It's a great outreach, and it really makes a difference in people's lives.
Well, Ron, thanks so much for not only writing the book, but for continuing this ministry. And we'll have information on both of those events that you'll be speaking at, both this one for Thursday and Friday in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and also for Wayzata in October. You can just head to myfaithradio.com, and we'll have a link to Ron's website right there. Ron, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah!
Levity. Today we're talking about blended families today and the challenges, but also the wonderful opportunity that is had by couples to just share who they are, who God's made them to be with other children, with other the parents with their children as well. So it's been an uplifting conversation with Ron Deal, I thought, as to the work that is needed to be a smart step family, but people are willing to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just appreciate his approach and his knowledge of and honesty, really, you know, of what's going on out there. I mean, people know, like we said before we started the show, you know, it's likely that you're probably once removed from knowing somebody that's in the situation. So whether it's your immediate family or even just a friend that is in that situation, I mean, you don't have to look too far to know somebody that's affected by this. And he has great insight in how to just bring reconciliation where that's needed and how to kind of, okay, we're together. Now, how do we go forward as this new family? So yeah, I appreciate Ron.
Right. And he brought up a good point when he was saying, you know, once we get married, rarely do we stop and say, how are we doing? And so the couple checkup is just such an incredible tool to have meaningful conversations about things that matter. And I just think it's a great way to assess where you are at in your relationship, what needs work, and what you are doing great at so you can continue doing those things.
Well, and you don't even need to buy the book in order to do that checkup and that online assessment. You can just head to our website, connectingmyfaithradio.com, of course, and then Connecting Faith. And then Carissa's going to put that link up for Ron Deal's website, and you'll be able to take that online assessment. And it is a great way to just have a conversation. I mean, he writes so great about it in the book, just how to have that conversation in an open and honest way with your spouse. To be able to say, hey, these things are working. These things, maybe we could have some areas of growth in.
Yeah, and that's good to do whether you're a blended family or not, right? Just with your spouse even, like, hey, let's check in and see how we're doing and moving forward and everything. So, yeah, it's good.
Yes, some great areas to look at, finances, communication, conflict resolution. And so there's something that we could all work on, I'm sure.
Yeah,
well,
I agree.
I mean, none of us three, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
Let's not call our spouses and ask them that question, but we all have things to work on. So, yes, just a great, great way to think about marriage and also blended families today. So thanks so much to Ron for being able to have that conversation with us. Well, you know, Laura
Petherbridge.
Laura Petherbridge also has some great advice for stepmoms. She talked with Neil earlier this year about what stepmoms can do to also enhance that communication within a blended family.
Sometimes dads parent out of guilt, and you expressed to Laura in your own experience that you get a little frustrated when you wanted to step in when your husband wasn't stepping up. Talk a little bit more about that, and you know, is there anything wrong with dad trying to keep the peace?
Yes, that's where it gets so complicated. The poor hubby, you know, he just wants to keep peace. And when he makes his kids happy, his wife is unhappy. When he makes his wife happy, his kids are unhappy. And then throw into the mix that normally whatever he does, the former spouse is unhappy. So he's got all kinds of people pulling at him. And so, yes, we're definitely not throwing Dad under the bus. He is in a very, very awkward situation. But that's why it's so critical to get help for these issues and learn what the issues are going to be before they occur, because sometimes keeping the peace is a good idea, but sometimes it's being a peaceaholic rather than a peacemaker. You know, Jesus was a peacemaker, but a peaceaholic is peace at all costs, and so that can be very dangerous. And children need boundaries. So we you know, it's just a very difficult position for him. And I encourage them to get help on how to co-parent, both the step-parent and the biological parent, and then how to co-parent between the two homes. And that can be done through resources such as mine or Ron Deal's, you know, going to classes, going to step-family events. That's really how you get training, because there's very little available. You parent differently in a step-family than you do in a first-time family. But it still has to be Dad setting the ground rules and him telling his child, your stepmom is in charge when I am not here, and so there's going to be consequences if you don't obey. And it's got to start from him.
You know, you talked about when mom is missing, that's you know, that has its own set of kind of challenges, doesn't it? I mean, I think particularly for the kids, right? They because clearly they know that you know, they're not seeing mom anymore.
That's right. It's a devastating experience when a child loses their mother, either because she chose to leave them or death, or there is a wound to the soul with the loss of a mother that is very different than anything else I've ever seen. I've been in ministry over 25 years, and yes, daddy wounds are significant and they're difficult, but when there's the mommy wound, there's just something about that when a mother abandons her children, there is a wound to that the stepmom is really steps into almost being a counselor, a therapist. She has to get a lot of help in order to co-parent this child, because the child is in deep grief and often very angry, very depressed. Just it comes out in all kinds of ways as the child grows. Doesn't mean there can't be a happy ending. It doesn't mean the child can't get help and be okay. I don't want to be giving a doom and gloom. I'm just saying that for that child, the stepmom really is in a unique position where she's got to get intense help on how to co-parent a child that has lost their mother.
We've had Ron Deal on in the past, and he talks about that 7-year marker that, you know, whether it's grief or whatever, that a blend doesn't really happen. There's a lot of years. I mean, your kids are pretty much grown by the time they can actually start blending, it seems like.
That's absolutely correct. And 7 years, you ask almost any step family expert, and they will tell you that right about year 7, and people don't like hearing that. They think that's ridiculous. But almost all of them later will come back and go, yep, you were absolutely right. That's about how long it takes for the family members to start viewing each other as siblings, if they're going to, if they're ever going to. It usually starts happening right about that time.
Well, if you want to hear the full interview that Neil had with Laura Petherbridge, you can just go to our website, myfaithradio.com. There's a search bar down at the bottom of the page. You can just search Stepmom or Laura's book, which is called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. So great information there on being a step parent. And boy, it does sound like it's a challenge. If you have to really stay strong through those 0 through 7 years to know that there's going to be wonderful fruit at the end of that.
Yeah, it takes patience, that's for sure, and trusting really God that he is at work, even the slow work of God. I've heard that expression used. You know, you have to trust in the slow work of God sometimes.
Sometimes we want to speed him up a little bit, but yeah. I found that no matter how often I ask, he's usually on his own time frame instead of mine.
Yeah, and he usually works out better for us in
yes.
the end, right? Yeah,
yes.
Funny.
It's a see, I told you so, that I don't think he would ever say, but I hear it in my mind anyway.
Yeah. You're not alone, I'm sure.
Right. Well, speaking of the slow work of God, some sometimes it's difficult for us to be able to share our spirituality, share our faith with other people. But again, those small conversations may end up yielding a wonderful harvest in the end. We have Make Your Life Count today, and Steve Douglas tells us how to share our faith with our neighbors.
Have you ever regretted not taking God-given opportunities to explain the gospel to people? Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. And let me share a story with you. Regarding the loss of her neighbor, Jane said, "I never truly told her about Jesus. Sandy knew about my faith, but she never really understood what it meant to know him and have a personal relationship with God. Whether it's death, a job change, or a sudden move, the unexpected in life is inevitable. That's why we must listen to God's promptings and share the good news with people in our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, and in our communities when we have the chance. So whom can you think of that God has placed in your life? Pray for that person. Pray for wisdom and guidance and timing and boldness so that you will share and you will never regret the unexpected." I'm Steve Douglas.
Great encouragement from Steve Douglas there on sharing your faith with your neighbors. You just never know how God's going to plant that seed. You know, we've been talking about parenting today, and tomorrow we just have a really good show on the way where I'm going to be talking with author Dina Yohe about what happens when your child walks away or is forced with a problem of addiction or can't seem to even want to be part of your family. How do you let that person go, and where is your faith in that?
You're talking about the prodigal syndrome, I guess, right, you call it, where the child just, I don't want anything to do with your faith or you, and they literally leave the house sometimes.
Right, or just this give and take, and they're here for a while, then they leave, then they're here for a while, and what that does to your relationship with God. So Dina just has written a wonderful book about what to do, how to stay connected when your child is not. So please join us tomorrow as we talk about that with Dina. Also, I'd like to welcome new listeners who can now hear Faith Radio on 1290 AM in Hartford, Connecticut, 90.7 FM here in the Twin Cities. That's been a great way for us to be able to keep that signal on long and strong a little bit later into the night.
Yeah, and another great option, you know, we've talked about it before, I'm just going to highlight it again. It's the app. It's a free Faith Radio app. Everybody, most people, I shouldn't say everybody has a cell phone, but I think right, most people do now. And it's free either on the Apple device, your iPhone, or an Android device. Go to the, respectively, the iTunes store for Apple or Google Play for the Android device. Search for Faith Radio Network. That's our app. It's free, and it's crystal clear streaming. You can take it with you wherever you go, whether you're in the markets that we are in, or maybe you're on a business trip and you want to hear your favorite show. Download it there, and you can listen to it and do the live stream thing. So check it out. The Faith Radio app, it's the Faith Radio Network you want to search for.
Live streaming is great, but you can also listen to programs that maybe you missed. If you only heard part of our program today with Ron Deal and you want to hear the rest of it, you can do that through the app, or you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com and just click on Connecting Faith. Search for your favorite show that way and be able to pass it along to your friends as well. One of my favorite things to do is to post those favorite shows on Facebook, and people can just click on it and listen that way. So a really great way to share your faith, to share great messages with people that you may not know about yet.
Yeah, yeah. Pass on. Let people know we're here. That helps us grow our audience, and more people can be blessed and ministered to. And also, just again, a huge thank you. Last week at this time, we were in the middle of our fall share. Thank you for getting on board, supporting the work God is doing here. We really couldn't do it without you. We're blessed.
Well, and we're just so fortunate to have you tuning in every day. We thank you for joining us for Connecting Faith today and for tomorrow as well. And please join Susie Larson this afternoon at 3 o'clock as she'll be welcoming a wonderful guest as well.
Yeah, that's Liz Curtis-Higgs today, I believe, actually. You know Liz Curtis-Higgs, a speaker, right?
Author. Love listening to Liz Curtis-Higgs because she gives great information and she has a great sense of humor as well.
Her book is Embrace Grace. We'll be talking about that today. So there you go.
And please join us tomorrow on Connecting Faith. Have a great day.